Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Well, let me just read this core value to you again. I am excited about where God's taken us in this particular core value. Incidentally, I just want to say, in regards to these classes, I'll just tell you this. I don't know if the calendar is on our website yet, but on the calendar, we've already got laid out every class that we're going to be offering to the end of the year. And they've been specifically put on the schedule because every class takes us someplace. By the time this year is over with, it should be no big deal for you to step over into just speaking a word of the Lord to somebody. By the Spirit of God, because that's the way we're wired. And unfortunately, it seems as though, you know, religious systems have kind of trained that out of us. Whether it's things that are actively taught or things that are just left alone for people just to assume. And what the Spirit of God wants to do is He wants to get us back to the place of what He said was Spirit-filled. And understand what His role is in the earth. I heard somebody say this one time, that we've reduced Holy Spirit's role down to a giggle, or to convict somebody of their sin, when His role is so much greater than that. And as we take this particular topic of our core value, the being active stewards of our abilities and our resources. I said this once before, and you know we'll touch on it in the weeks to come, but what has happened to the church is that the church has bought off on a lie that we're not supposed to have any resources. We're just supposed to be the ones that are the beggars, that are begging for everybody else to help us, because after all, we're the church. We beg for, you know, unfortunately in the past, you know, preachers' discounts and stuff like that, because after all, the church isn't supposed to have any money. And even in government, the halls of government, sometimes those mindsets prevail in the way people think and the way they look at the church. They think that the church should not have any money. But in real fact, the issue is really the church should be the one that is meeting the needs of people. The only reason government stepped up to do it is because the church bought off on the lie that we're supposed to be broke. So who else is going to? But the reality of it is the church is supposed to have more than enough resources supernaturally and naturally to be able to take care of the needs of people. And so what we'll find if we'll step over into these things, and if you'll notice this core value, it reads like this. We are free to be a people that understand that the way to permanently affect a culture, everybody say permanently affect a culture, is through actively being a steward of the God-given giftings and resources we possess as a unit, being on the front lines, bringing an all-encompassing restoration. All-encompassing restoration. not needing to relegate that position to anyone else. That last statement is not a statement of rebellion. It's not a statement against any particular faction. It is a statement that this is the purpose of the church and the body of Christ. We're supposed to be in a position to meet the needs of people so that no one else needs to. You know, so much in the past has been relegated to this mindset of, well, we're just going to build a church, stick it on the corner someplace, and try to hurt everybody in the door. Having absolutely zero relevance in our society, zero impact in our culture, and then we want to turn around and curse the darkness because look how bad it is. When the reality of it is, if we say that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world, then why are we cursing the darkness in the world for being as bad as it is if we're not having any impact? So, we're free to be a people that understand that we're to permanently affect the culture. In the video clip for the classes that are coming up, real-time living classes, we're going to call them real-time living classes. You heard that word a number of times mentioned. Culture, culture, culture. Folks, next week we're going to get into what is the church supposed to look like compared to what we've kind of gotten used to. And I'm going to show you a diagram that clearly illustrates what is the church and what is it supposed to be doing in its city. And I'm going to just tell you this, folks. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself in my notes here, but if we're in step with the Spirit of God, the city government should know who Best Life Church is. Not in a bad way. The city government should know who Best Life Church is, because Best Life Church is the one that comes alongside of them. And is if there's a single mom that has a home but she doesn't know how to fix anything in her house, well, they know who to call. They call somebody at Best Life Church. We send a group of folks over there and we get that place fixed. If there's issues around the city that need to be taken care of, they already have seen us out there in the midst of all of that, taking care of these things and bringing the blessing that is ours to this city. And our reputation should go before us, because really that's what the purpose of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is. We are blessed to be a blessing. Right? So, you know, I'll just say that, yeah. What would happen if the hospitals didn't have to spend all that money? I'm not advocating going into a hospital and just, you know, jerking everybody out of the beds and in the name of Jesus be healed. I'm not saying that. But what if before somebody went into the hospital, what if they paid a visit to Best Life Church, somebody laid their hands on them and they got delivered and set free from that disease? Can you see a precedence in Scripture for that? Is anybody here today? So what if we, because of what we're doing and ministering the kingdom in the lives of people, people were getting set free from sickness, disease, and the hospitals didn't have to spend all that money on everything. See, there's so many ways that the church should be active in the society. And you're going to see some examples today. And it was all just because people ministered what they had. And people and got their attention. Go over to, let's just go to 1 Peter real quick. We talked last week about, you know, your giftings, and I mentioned some things about over in Romans chapter 12. It mentioned hospitality, it mentioned the prophetic, it mentioned some of those things. And understand this. Like we said, in the context of things, Paul doesn't tell us that there's only certain people that are gifted in certain areas and then nobody else is. And then turn around and tell you to do that. If you don't get anything else from anything we've taught, understand this, that you are just as equipped to be used in the area of the prophetic as somebody who supposedly has the gift. You have the same Spirit of God on the inside of you. Now, if you choose to stay in the place of, well, that's just not me, then that's your own choice. But the fact is, you have the same ability to practice receiving, stepping out in your faith, stepping out in what the Spirit of God gives you. And you're the one that determines your ability to receive what's being given. And Paul is simply saying, everyone's going to be at a different place. So, and understand how the end result of that looks may be different individual to individual, but it is for everybody. Do we understand that? So I don't want to ever hear anybody ever say, well, God just doesn't use me that way. I can just see the disciples when Jesus was standing before His ascension and saying, okay, go into all the world and teach all nations to observe everything that I've told you. And one of the disciples pops up and said, Jesus, that's not my gift. We need to quit making excuses for why we're not developed and just go there. Amen? Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 4, I want you to notice this. In the context of our giftings, again, we said in verse 6 that the gospel for this purpose was preached so that those who are dead, though they may be judged in the flesh as men or natural men, they'll live in their spirit according to the will of God. The reason we preach the gospel is because we want people to understand that you're not a mind, you're not emotions, you are a spirit. And you are created to live with the Spirit of God in you. So, he goes on to say, look at don't you love technology? Yeah, only when it works, exactly. Verse 7 says, the end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer, for the purpose of your two-way communication with Him. Isn't that kind of a novel thought, guys, to the reason why we guard our hearts? And the reason why we just don't run off and do... This is why it's so ridiculous to have this argument in the body of Christ that, you know, that somehow the message of grace is telling people that they have a license to do whatever they want. How dumb can we get and still breathe? You've got a license to do whatever you want anyway. The reason why we guard our hearts is because we're interested in the downloads. We don't want to miss the downloads. Everybody understand when I say that? We don't want to miss the downloads from the Spirit of God. That's the reason why we guard our hearts. Because we want to be in on what God's saying at the moment. But there seems to be a mindset that doesn't quite understand that. We're already doing what we want. And we want the downloads. We want to live in step with the Spirit of God. So we guard our hearts because out of it flow the answers for the issues of life. Because the answers for the issues of life are what Holy Spirit's business is. Because those things reflect, as we've talked about in previous weeks, those things reflect what the will of God is. Imagine a people that as we just live life during the week, every place we are, we get those downloads from the Spirit of God and He draws our attention to people and we just give Him what God gives us at the moment and let Him do the rest of it. Imagine the level of awareness of who Jesus is and what He thinks of them will be. One minister one time said it like this: you raise the water level of Holy Spirit awareness in the city. We need to raise the water level of the Holy Spirit awareness in the city. There used to be a time when people would run to the people of the church to get delivered. They would come from faraway distances. What changed? Well, we got told that that wasn't our job, when in fact that is our job. There's prophetic writings in the Old Testament that talk about there'll come a day, and I believe we're in that day, where people will grab onto a person and say, "We know God is with you." So, Peter talked about this in verse 7. He says, "The end of things is near. Have sound judgment. Sober in your spirit. Be aware. For the purposes of two-way communication with the Lord. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." So he talks about here to be fervent for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And I mentioned this. I got this video I want to show you. It's funny. Somebody emailed it to me. It was their Holy Spirit interpretation of what I said. But I said we need to be more concerned about His business and not somebody else's. Right? So here it is. Make sure the volume level's up.
Why about yourself? Why about yourself?
Can I help?
No. No help. I don't. You can help when we're on PE, okay? You can help when we are on PE.
Okay. Do you have this thing?
Probably. You want me to help, Russ?
That's a good picture.
No. Thank you. No, thank you.
What do you want me to do?
What about yourself?
Don't worry.
What happened to the picture?
Why about yourself? I'll do this one, so I'm going to do that. You drive! What about yourself? Go drive! Go!
I'm not sure where that picture went, but anyway, I think she got it down. You drive, and what about yourself? So pay more attention to His business than someone else's. And then over in Romans, you know, these are all in the context of the giftings that He's given you. Because He goes on to say, be hospitable one to another without complaint. Each one has received a special gift, employed as serving one another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And then He talks about anyone who is speaking. If anyone who's speaking, let him be speaking the utterances of God. Whoever is serving, let him be serving by the strength which God supplies. And the reason for this is so that God through Jesus Christ will be glorified. And I love this next part. To whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever. So, here in reference to your giftings, again, he says to make sure you're walking in love. Above everything else, keep your love walk in place. And the same thing is true if you go over to Romans chapter 12. He says exactly the same thing. You know, why is that? Well, because, folks, whenever we're dealing with people's giftings, And I understand there are the giftings over in 1 Corinthians 12, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healings, working of miracles. We're really dealing with the manifestation of those things over there. Those manifestations go through everybody. Because it says it's the Spirit of God who distributes those as needed to bring profit in any situation. So it's not as though one person has the word of knowledge and one person has the gifts of healings and never the two shall meet. That's not what they're saying there. Nor is it in Romans 12 that, you know, there's only certain people that have these giftings and nobody else can function in those areas. That's just not so. There are offices, when you talk about the office of the prophet, there are those things that's a different issue. That's someone who stands in that office, and they'll stand in that office and they'll have manifestations that are little at a higher level than someone else who does not stand in that office. But just because you don't stand in that office does not mean that you don't have the ability to flow by the Spirit of God in those things. Because we all have the same Spirit of God, right? And the issue is the end need, not you. Right? So, if we say that the grace of God causes us to be all-sufficient in all things and able to abound unto every good work, then we have to say that the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of those gifts are also available to everybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. The only difference between you and someone else is they had more practice. Or maybe you have more practice and somebody else is coming up behind you. That's the only difference. Because as Romans 12 says, it's in our ability to receive. Let every man operate according to the measure of faith. Every person's given the exact same. But the issue in Romans 12 was the fact that when it comes to the giftings, that it's all about how much you're practicing. Because the Spirit of God, when you practice, you're allowing Him to have influence in those giftings. Now, here's the issue that you find in so many places, and of course, it's nobody here, but you know people. You've heard things like, "Well, Pastor took me out of that ministry. He took my ministry away." I don't know how many times I've heard that in my life as a pastor. "He took my ministry away." Honey, I didn't give you that ministry. That may have been something that was a gift into yours, and the Spirit of God wanted you to let Him have access to it, but you made it be you. And when it started destroying things, because you got in it, then we're not going to have that. But it didn't come from me. It didn't come from any person. It came from the Spirit of God. But He wants to have influence in what He gives you. You know, musicians, I don't know why, but musicians seem to be the worst. You get musicians and they think they're you know, God's gift at church. And then when you don't let them play, I mean, I've seen musicians leave the church because they weren't allowed to play what they wanted to or how they wanted to, or they weren't given more of a spotlight or whatever. So they got offended and left. Honey, that gift ain't yours. That gift is His. And if you don't let Him have influence, you won't put it to use anywhere. It's not about you. It's about Him. So that's why you, in so many of these places, 1 Peter 4, Romans 12, you find that when it comes to speaking about giftings and things and practicing those things, that it also ties you to walking in love, because we want to give the Spirit of God. Your principle number 4 in your notes: notice that all scriptures connected to giftings, there's the 100% submission of those giftings to the Holy Spirit influence. Go over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And look at verse 15. James pastored a church in Jerusalem. That was an interesting environment, I'm sure. They had multitudes of the Jewish priests and things. They were giving their life to the Lord as the gospel was being communicated and demonstrated. They were given, I mean, he had so many people in his church that were Jewish priesthood. And so he had a heavy influence there. In fact, remember when Paul came into town, he told them, you see how many of the Jewish believers that we have. So let's do this. Why don't you go and get put yourself into a vow and get your hair cut off, and then take these two with you and have and pay for theirs, so that if anybody sees you, they'll see clearly that you're not against the Jewish faith. That ended up as a bad idea, but it didn't do him any good. But he had this influence in the, and so he had a lot of these folks in the church. And he talks about, you know, James is famous for the whole faith that works is dead comment. But I want to shine some light on what exactly is he speaking of, because it's been taken. It is a principle, and it is the truth, but it's been taken out of the context of what it is in the book, in the letter. So let's look at it. Let's put it back in the context of the letter. And let's see, what exactly is James speaking of? In James chapter 2, verse 15, it says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed, be filled, and yet you do not give them what's necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now the word dead there really could be used, it's used in Hebrews 9:14 in your notes, you see that, for the word useless. How many know we don't want to do useless? When you say useless, you can also say no relevance. And the church has been a master at being irrelevant. Partly because we think too small, but partly because we've believed a lie that we're not supposed to be in the forefront of anything. We're supposed to be in the background and just like a little kid. You're supposed to be seen, not heard, so shut up. But that's just not so. And also, I think it comes from this, it comes from the fact that when you got a screaming, yelling kid in the background, who wants to listen to that? When you got a bratty kid in the background that's always yelling and mouthing off, who wants to listen to that? And I think that's part of the problem is we have not realized what our mission, what our assignment is, and so we went around cursing in the darkness, and people just don't want to listen to that. We've been given the blessing of Abraham so that we're blessed to be a blessing. Y'all here today? So, go back to James chapter 1. This talks about faith without works is dead. What are the works? Well, Galatians 5:16 says that faith works through love, or through love operating. Really what that's saying is, you know, we understand that faith is what you get from the Spirit of God. Faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. So when faith rises up in your heart, it didn't come from you, it didn't come out of you, it came from Him, and it's a communication of what belongs to you in the realm of eternity. Do you understand that? That's why, folks, it just doesn't pay to just be a Sunday Christian. Because you're not in tune enough with what the Spirit of God sounds like to you to pick up on what He's saying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We want to become familiar with Him and the way He speaks with us and the way He shows us things and the way He interacts with us so that we don't miss what He's given us. Because if you keep yourself in that place of functioning in your love life, you don't get out of love towards other people and get over into your emotions and get bent, then you're going to keep the pipeline clear to receive what He wants to talk to you about any place, anytime, anywhere. Does that make sense? So when it says faith through love operating, faith is going to function and flow because you're in the right place as far as your hearing. Faith comes through a spoken word or a revelatory word from Him. That's Romans 10. So we want to, faith functions when we keep ourselves in the right place. So James 1:17 says, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Everybody say the Father of lights. From whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. Now, that phrase, the Father of lights, it's mentioned over in Psalms. In fact, just go over there. Psalms chapter 136. Psalms 136. And look at verse 7. To Him who made the great lights, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Now you see this repeatedly in this chapter. To Him who made the great lights, He's the Father of lights, and then it says, for Him, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And then it goes on to talk about this, the sun to rule by day, His loving kindness is everlasting. The whole theme of this chapter is His loving kindness is everlasting. So when it mentions this in James, that He's the Father of lights and every good and perfect gift comes down from Him, He's tying it into the fact that His loving kindness is everlasting. Again, who is He speaking with? He's speaking with people that are of Jewish background that know the Psalms. But notice what He says in light of the fact that He's the Father of lights and His loving kindness is everlasting. He says, in the exercise of His will, the one whose loving kindness is everlasting, He brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among His creatures. Now, do you think the first fruits of Him, do you think that they are different than Him whose loving kindness is everlasting? So since we're His offspring, if His loving kindness is everlasting, then our loving kindness should be everlasting also. Turn over to Proverbs chapter... Oh, what is it? Proverbs chapter 19. Look at this verse. Proverbs 19. Look at verse 11. It says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. Everybody say slow to anger. And it is his glory to overlook a transgression. Now let's just say that was the only verse we had. How would that change the landscaping of how the church is interacting with the world? Hello, y'all here? It's to his glory to overlook a transgression. Is this not the way that Daddy functions with us? He was made to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. He's therefore no longer holding our transgressions against us. Do you think that he's asking us to function any different than he already has? So his loving kindness, back over in James chapter 1, he's the Father of lights. His loving kindness is everlasting. And through the operation of his own will, he made us, he brought us forth to be a first fruit of his creatures or his creation. James 1:21 says, in humility receive the word that's been implanted. Prove yourselves doers of the word. One who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it. One who's an effective doer. This man will be blessed in what he does. Fulfilling, verse 8, fulfilling the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love the your neighbor as yourself. The royal law is the law of love. It's not the law of Moses. So James 2:12 says, so speak and so act as those who are that are to be judged by the law of liberty, which is the law of love. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So there's a connection between walking in the law of, walking in love and walking in step with the Spirit of God. And so when we're talking about our giftings, every place you look, whether it's James, I mean, even 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just go over there. 1 Corinthians 12. Speaking of being relevant, Paul deals with that issue in 1 Corinthians 12. Actually, let's look at, chapter 13. Notice what he says here. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I do not have what? If we don't walk in love and we don't interact in love in society, what does that do? What does it say? I have become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. Or you could say, I've become a screaming kid. Nobody wants to listen to a screaming kid. If I have the gift of prophecy, or you could just say, if I have prophecy, because the gift of is in italics, it's not really there. Let's stop thinking about giftings and start thinking about this is how the Holy Spirit operates. If I have prophecy, in fact, if you doubt that, go to Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, and notice the very first mention of the being filled with the Spirit, and it was, they'll prophesy. So however we got separated from flowing in the prophetic and being, quote, filled with the Spirit, I'll never know. So he says here, if you have a prophecy but and you know all mysteries and you have all knowledge, and if you have all faith so as to remove mountains, but you don't have love, you have what? Nothing. Can you say zero relevance in society? Isn't it amazing how, because of ignorance, we've just so much of the church has been relegated to the sidelines of ineffectiveness, and we don't care about you because they don't even read you don't even read the scriptures you got. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and then in the day if I surrendered my body to be burned, but I don't have love, it profits you nothing. So imagine a people that are strong in their love walk, and they're strong in submitting their giftings, the things that the Spirit of God's put on the inside of them, to His accessibility. And they're strong in ministering the things the Spirit of God gives us, specifically here over 1 Corinthians 12, to the culture around us. Imagine if this is true for not having love, what's true if we have it? We become relevant. We become a voice that people will listen to. We come become a place where people will come because they want to get healed from sickness and disease. They want to be set free. I know every time I say that, it hits somebody sideways in this room. Folks, this is where we're going because this is what the Spirit of God in us is all about. Don't think it impossible that somebody can just walk through the door. We lay hands on them and cancer is gone. Cancer is not a big deal. I said cancer is not a big deal. It's only a big deal between our ears. It's just a bunch of rebellious blood cells that need to be put in check. And our focus should be on the bigness of our daddy, not on the bigness of something that's in somebody else, right? So, look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth," speaking to the disciples. "And if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything." You know how, what he's speaking of here? Getting outside of walking in love. How could we have ever allowed ourselves to be railroaded off to the side? As Paul told Timothy, you just become a device of the enemy, and you're basically made a servant at his will, because we get out of love, we get into strife, we get over into junk, and then all of a sudden we're a gong and cymbal and a clanging whatever, and we're a screaming kid. Nobody wants to listen to us. So Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth. Don't lose your saltiness. You don't want to become no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." That means that no one's listening. You have zero relevance. Now, what happened when he was the salt of the earth? Well, when he was the light of the world, he said this. And look at principle number 5 in your notes. We'll know we are moving in the middle of His love when it takes us and keeps us relevant within our city. John 9 says, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And he said this. He spat on the ground, made clay with the spittle, applied it to the clay of the eyes, and so he told the guy to go away and wash. So in verse 7, he went away, washed, and came back seeing. What was the result of that in verse 8? Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were doing what? They were talking. What if every week, because of us understanding our assignment on the planet and bringing the kingdom of God into the lives of people, what if that was the talk of the city every week? Did you hear what happened over there? And again, I'm not talking about bad stuff. Now, do I expect everybody to agree with everything? No, I don't care. What I care about is whether we bring the kingdom into somebody's life or not. But the light of the world, he said, "I'm the light of the world." And as he's talking about the light of the world in the same context, he goes and puts mud on the guy's eyes. The guy comes back seeing, and everybody starts talking. And then in Matthew 5, he said, "Now you're the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill that can't be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that when they see your good works, they'll glorify your Father who's in heaven." Are those good works different than what him as the light of the world was doing? Because what he was doing was getting everybody talking. About Paul, it said about Paul that he had turned the world upside down. See, we start in the city, and it flows out into the world. Acts 2:43, everyone who kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place day after day, continuing with one mind. Everybody say one mind. In other words, everybody didn't have their own agenda. Well, I'm going to go to church so I can get that multi-level marketing thing going. You know how many times I've seen that? There's a lot of contacts there. Now, they were all of one mind. What was their mind? Well, they're of his mind. They were breaking bread from house to house, and they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity, heart praising God and having favor with all the people. Having favor with all the people. Get out of here. Is that possible? It must be. It's in your Bible. Having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. I want you to sit back and I want you to imagine, what does Best Life Church look like on a weekly basis when people are getting the kingdom ministered to them on a daily basis, and people are coming into the kingdom because they're having the kingdom ministered to them? What does Best Life Church look like on a weekly basis because of that? Imagine every time somebody comes through the door, the talk is about what happened to them when they were over at such and such a place, and everybody starts comparing testimonies. All of a sudden you look around, we need some more chairs. Acts chapter 3, verse 8. With a leap, Peter ministered this guy who was born lame. He says, What I've got right now, I'm giving to you. And he jerked him up, said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And as with a leap, the guy stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 9 says, and all of the people saw him. All the people saw him walking and praising God. You think if we were to minister the kingdom of God into people's lives at Home Depot, or Safeway, Walmart, wherever else, that there might be some, all the people saw him? The result of that, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And it said, and then to Peter and John, all of the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. You know what's so amazing? Not for the second time, I can't get into it today, but you have the scriptures in your Bible, in your notes there. Go back, this very location, the portico of Solomon. Go back. This happened, things happened at this very same location three times in scripture. The first time it happened with Jesus, the manifestation of the king, and Jesus said this, hey, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, don't believe what I say. They were griping because he was calling himself the Son of God. He said, look, if I'm not doing the work of my Father, don't believe what I say, in this very spot. And then two other times, the same exact thing happened where people were getting set free. The kingdom was coming upon people. This guy, he was born a certain way. He got delivered, set free, and now his feet work in the exact same place. It was almost like Jesus might as well have said this. Let me just tell you boys something. What happened today, it's going to keep happening. And you're going to know the ones that are sons of my Father, because this is going to be an earmarked environment that they're going to live in. So this won't be the last time you see these things happen. In fact, if they don't happen, don't listen to what they say. I can tell you right now, I've never been through an evangelism course that told you that. Never have. I've been through all kinds of evangelism courses talking about, okay, now if they say this, you say this, and if they say this, you say this, and you memorize a bunch of scriptures and you put them in a certain order, and you're leading them sales pitch into a certain choice. But there's never any ministering of the kingdom. There's never any expectation that these signs follow them and believe in my name. There is none of that. But yet Jesus said, if those things don't follow me, don't believe what I say. Well, Pastor, you can't say that. I didn't. He did. So we've gotten so comfortable and used to those things not following us that we don't think it's normal. When the fact is, every person that is a new creation, that is the new model, every one of them has the presence of Him inside their presence. And every one of them, this is a normal environment. That's why Jesus likened it and said, look, I am the Son of my Father. I do what I see Him do. And if you don't believe me, at least believe because of the work's sake. Because if I don't do it, if the works don't happen, then don't believe what I say. And then two other times in the exact same location, different individuals, same results, same connection, same Holy Spirit, the exact same thing happens. Isaiah chapter 2, we'll close with this. Now it will come about in the last days, the mountains of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many people will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that He may teach us concerning His ways, that we may walk in His paths. You know, we're going to bring about this next week, and in your notes there you have seven different areas of the culture of society that we need to be an influence in. Because the more we allow the Spirit of God in us, and every person on the planet is drawn to one of those. And the more we allow the Spirit of God to have influence in our life, keep ourselves in the walk of love, and allow our giftings to become influenced by Him and grown and developed by Him, and then we allow the Spirit of God, the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, to flow through us along with the giftings we have from the Spirit of God as individuals, the more all that comes together, and the more we allow Him to have access to those things, the more that we become the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Don't tell me we're not supposed to be a leader in media. Don't tell me we're not supposed to be a leader in politics. Don't tell me we're not supposed to be a leader in the arts. Don't tell me we're not supposed to be a leader in any other facet in society that influences people. Those areas were designed for us to be a leader in. Folks, it's time that we understand that because you have the Holy Spirit factor, every place of influence in society is created for you to be at the top of that. Because you're the one that's living connected. So many people, they get offended because, well, you think you're better. No, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with anything me, anything my opinion, anything at all like that. It has to do with the fact that you are either living connected and you are living with the insight and the connection and the downloads of the Spirit of God, or you're not. If you are, then you learn to make the right choices. You learn to lead in the right way. You learn to make decisions and create things that bring the blessing of God onto the lives of people because you're living connected. If you're not living connected, don't gripe at me because you're making bad choices, bad decisions, and you're leading bad. If you want to be qualified to lead in government, then get connected. Because the ones that are connected, they're the ones that are qualified to lead in government, lead in arts, lead in the media, lead in family, lead in any place else that's on. We're qualified. And I know I'm kind of on my high horse right now, but folks, the bottom line is that a man was created to live connected and then be fulfilled in those areas. Because when you're connected, now you're getting the accurate downloads for what to say, what to do, what choices to make, what things to create, how to lead in government, all those things. If we cannot afford to have people in the top of these areas that don't know how to be connected. It's not a personal thing at all. Stop making it a personal thing and just get connected. And then go. Because the folks that are in those places of leadership that are influencing culture, those are their giftings. They're just doing it without being connected. So let's get them connected. They get connected, and then you don't get out of what you're doing. Stay in it and lead more effectively. Did you get anything about this? Stand up. I'm telling you, folks, there's so much that the Spirit of God wants to get over to us in these areas, and quite frankly, We need some mindset changes. But there's not a person in this room that He called to be irrelevant. Not one single person. There's coming a day in the life of this church where things will happen so fast because we get it. We get what walking and staying in step with the Holy Spirit looks like. And things will happen so fast that if we stop to think about it, we'll wreck it. Because it'll get over in our head and think it's something that we're doing, when frankly we're just in step with Him. That's the word of the Lord. So let's not pull back, get our head involved. Let's just go with it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for Your loving kindness that is everlasting. And I thank You that You've placed that on the inside of us, and that we have a desire to walk with You, live with You, breathe with You, see what You see, minister Your kingdom in the lives of people. Because I see a day when You're allowed to flow all through the city and all different places and every different areas and all the neighborhoods, and Your core group of individuals that allows You to do these things continues to grow, increase, grow, multiply. And so the fruit begins to multiply. And we just thank You, Lord, that because of that, every resource and every need that we have need of is already taken care of. And I thank You, Lord, for bringing each individual in this place. I thank You for multiplying their resources. I thank You, Father, that they're faithful, they love You. The blessing of the Lord is upon them. I thank You for multiplying their resources materially, exceedingly abundantly above all they could ever ask or think, to the place where they never think about money ever again. It's not even a thought. Yeah, but I don't have enough for that ever again. And they just enjoy living with You, breathing with You, walking with You, and ministering with You. In the name of the Lord Jesus, everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.